Sally and I with Tim and Colleen for, it's got to be right at about 20 years, I think, because it wasn't very long after Sally and I came to Bus-Stuy that our missionary at the time that we were supporting retired, and we were introduced to Tim and Colleen. And the kind of the interesting thing about it is that we were introduced to them, and I had never met them before, but after some conversation the first time we met, I discovered that I knew Colleen's brother because he and I played on the same intramural basketball team as freshmen in college. So I had a connection with them without even knowing I had a connection with them. But these last 20 years or whatever time it's been, has this been a great time of building a relationship? And I've had the privilege, along with some others from our congregation, to go and visit them on their turf in Africa. Of course, the last time, Colleen was not able to be there because she was in Canada receiving treatment for cancer that she's going to talk about in a moment. And so we got to be with Tim, and it was a pretty significant time as well. It was very different, but it was significant. And we also got to just kind of see Tim's heart through that time as well, and see the pain that he was carrying and yet trying to kind of carry on their work and their calling in the midst of what his wife was going through. But I'm just really honored that Colleen was willing to come today and really just share in a very personal way her story and how God walked and continues to walk with her, but through cancer, through a lot of different things over the years. But I've asked her if she would come and share that with us. We're starting the series today called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. And every one of us here, whether it's cancer, whatever it might be, that we all face challenges. And they can have a lot of different looks, a lot of different feels, but they're challenges nonetheless. And when they're ours, they're greater because it's ours to deal with. And so the next few weeks, beginning today, we really want to talk about how to get through those things. What is the plan that God has for us? What is his role in that? And Colleen is going to come and share how he did that in her life. So, sister, please come. Sure.
Hello? Good morning. I hope you're all doing okay. It's always a pleasure for us to come here to Bus-Stuy, and we always have such a warm welcome from everybody. And even seeing the various people who have come in their African outfits, thank you for doing that. And also the warm hospitality we receive at the Fergusons. They, wow, take such good care of us, and if you could be killed with good cooking, it would happen there, I tell you. But we've had such wonderful conversations, and we really do feel like whenever we come here, we're coming home to family, and that's what many of you are to us. And I want to thank you this morning for the prayers that you have lifted up for our family and for us as we've gone through this journey that I'll be sharing about shortly. one that we never expected to find ourselves in, but God has been faithful to us. And I want to thank you for being part of that and for praying. It's very hard sometimes to talk about these things because it goes deep, very deep. And it's a very personal story to each one of us. And in the first service, it was very touching to me to meet with some of those who are going through the journey of cancer and who were willing to share some of their angst and doubts. And for sure, it's something that's so different to each one of us. But I want this morning to talk a little bit about what it was for me and how it began and how it's ending. And through it all, God has been there for me and for our family. In 2014, I was coming back from the village in the back of a van with some people from the Children of Promise program. And I know some of you sponsor kids through that program. It's a very good one. And all of a sudden, Sunday was driving the van, and all of a sudden we hit this humongous pothole. And this pothole I will never forget, because it was the one that set the alarm bells going. Hitting this pothole and feeling excruciating pain in my pelvic area. And I even said, Sunday, please stop, slow down, you know, like, because it shook me. And anyway, when we got home, I shared with Tim a little bit about the pain I was feeling. And we both felt that we should I should go see a doctor, and I did. And through various testings and through the grace of God, because diagnosing cancer in Uganda is one thing that is not very easy, because the machines are not there. It has the highest rate of cervical cancer in the world, and no machine. So some of these things are a little bit daunting when you are told by the doctor that you have ovarian cancer, stage 3C, and you can't believe what you're hearing, because you just don't expect that from there. And for sure, it was confirmed that I did have cancer, and the doctor there, an East Indian lady, she said, bring your husband, I need to talk to him. And so we went in together, and she told Tim, you need to book a flight this week, because we cannot do anything for Colleen here. And it was very hard, because we were expecting other teams the next week, and Tim was going to go one way with one group, and I was going to be with the other group. And I said, I can't. We have people coming. And she said, forget it. Think about yourself. You need to leave and get started on treatment. And so I had to accept that. It's very hard for me to accept those kind of orders, because as many of you know, the work is very near and dear to my heart. And as we shared, Tim and I shared with some of the leaders and some of the people that were in the vicinity, and they prayed for me and anointed me, that I would be leaving. And we didn't know what the future would hold. And leaving Tim behind to face this, I really wasn't sure if I was ready for this. And so one of the hardest things we had to do was tell our children over Skype what had happened and what was happening in the future. We didn't know. So telling your children where you can't touch them, you can't reach out to them, it was very difficult. And of course, very emotional. Because Logan, our youngest, he was on his own in university. And he had no one there to comfort him. And so it was really hard for me to see his reaction. And so Tim and I really struggled through that. But I was going to be seeing them in a few days. Tim booked the tickets, and I left that week. And reaching Canada, the kids were there to surround me with hugs and to affirm our strength as a family. And then Tiffany, our oldest daughter, she said, I know this is probably not the right time to tell you, but we're expecting our third child. And she said, I know this, compared to you, is very little. But you know what? It was one of the best pieces of news we'd heard. And it gave us such joy during that time of hardship. Yes, facing these doctors, facing all these biopsies, and I had gained a lot of liquid in my abdomen. And so they had to start taking out this liquid, a gallon at a time, and I had to do it four times. Very painful, but it was because my kidneys were already shutting down. And so that was one of the first things they did, because it was hard for them to start other processes while I still had all of this within me. And they confirmed that, yes, my ovaries had burst. And so cancer was throughout my abdomen. And they said, we have to get on this immediately. So I was, a port was put on me. I was talked to by many doctors. They were coming up. I had no choice, actually, in what steps were taken next, because it was at a very late stage. And they said, if you don't do something now, you have a very slim chance of survival. And my chances, they were talking about, were probably that I had a 30% chance of making it. And so it was very grim news for us. But you know, when you have God at the center of your life, you have hope and you have strength. He gives you strength to face those hard things. And even though Tim was very, very many miles away, and I was in Canada with the children, God gave all of us peace. And in Uganda, Reverend Abasola, who is the country leader, called many people together, international, government, and our church people, and they had prayer. They anointed Tim on my behalf, and they claimed healing in the name of Jesus. And I tell you, that was a very comforting thing for me. I was so thankful that I had all these strong people around me who at that time gave me the strength in my weakness. You know, in our weakness, we see God's strength. That is a promise that he gives us. When we are weak, he is strong. And we have someone who we can rely on, who we can cling to during those hard times. And you know, this was my second time to have cancer. 20 years ago, I had melanoma. And I was healed from that. They found it in time before we left the country. And God worked a miracle in my life. And so I was very used to seeing God work. I grew up as a young kid in Tanzania, seeing miracles happening, seeing the walking, people who were lame walking, blind people seeing. It was amazing. I saw miracles. My parents were in this ministry that had great prayer power, and God used them in mighty ways. So I had been healed from malaria, from different things. Why not now? God was going to heal me from cancer for sure. I knew it. And I had such confidence that he was going to do that. Well, my dad sometimes has prophetic dreams. And he phoned me and he said, yes, we've been praying, but God has given me a dream, and that is that you will not be healed immediately. You will be healed, but not the way you want to be healed. Immediate. You know, today we like immediate answers. He told my dad in a dream that he wanted his glory to be seen through my story, and that the more people that heard about it, the more would hear about his greatness. And I said, this is great, but I wanted to be healed now, you know? And I had to accept that, yes, I had to rely on God. It was his will, not mine. And that was a lesson for me. So going through all of these emotional and trying moments, I did learn some things that helped me. I realized that I had God in my life, and that was so important. He was my rock. He was there throughout all the times when, I mean, needles. I hate needles. I had to get used to that. This port in my body was this foreign thing. Then pumping in this chemical warfare to fight cancer in my body, this was something I really didn't like that or want that. None of us do. But I knew I had God who would hold my hand through that whole journey, and he did. I had my family and friends who were there to comfort me. Many of them were miles apart, but they would send me messages on email. They would phone. They would send flowers. And my daughter convinced me that I should start a blog. She said, Mom, this will be really good for you, very important. And she left her job, and she came and worked in a little tea shop so she could drive me to chemotherapy every week. It was a great sacrifice that she did. And people were showing so much love and so much care. And this family of mine was amazing. Through it all, they were there for me and gave me great advice. And this blog that I began started reaching out to so many people. It went viral. I couldn't believe all the people that were communicating and praying. So many people were praying. And I really thought, you know, I'm so blessed to have this church family. And those of you who are going through this, a church family is so important. It gives you this feeling of you're surrounded by God's love through his people. And let me tell you, prayer means so much. I really coveted every prayer that was sent up on my behalf. And so I was lifted up, I was cared for, I was prayed for, I was being thought of. And this blog, so many people wrote me and said, you know, my daughter was just diagnosed, or my sister. And so I was able to give advice and help those who were going through that. And then I realized, you know, you as you're going through all of these emotions, first of all, it's steadying yourself because you feel like you're being tossed around and everything. And this health is more than just physical. You have your mental state that is all over the place. And even the chemotherapy kind of messes you up and you miss things. And so it was really important for me to have this positive attitude. In the first few minutes of being diagnosed is when you make that decision that you're going to fight or you're not. And at first, that thought of going to heaven is very attractive. And you think, yeah, I think I'm ready to go. But then you start thinking of your children, of your grandchildren, of your parents, your husband, you think of all of that, and you think of tomorrow. And you realize you do want to face tomorrow. You do want to experience life with your family. You do want to continue working and serving the Lord. And so this mental state of allowing God to work in you and giving you that positivity, that reason to live, I faced that, and I wanted to live. And so I decided I would finish my degree that I'd started a Bachelor of Science degree. So I finished this degree online. It gave me a focus. It gave me something to work towards. I also had the blog to write. And many times when I was writing and thinking about what to say and what I had been experiencing, I felt this such closeness with God. I would do it late at night because many times I couldn't sleep. And God would speak to me in amazing ways. There were times when I felt like I was truly sitting at the feet of Jesus. And he was pouring this anointing oil on my head. And I felt like I was one with him. Such amazing experiences. And those experiences helped to push me through every day. I felt that I had a purpose. I kept busy. I kept my mental state very active. I would communicate with Tim all the time. We would be working on the work camps were coming. I would be doing the menus. I'd be helping with sponsorship online. It was amazing how you can keep busy. And I did. And that helped me to fight depression and to fight this feeling of, let me just drown in this. And as I would go to these chemotherapy sessions every week. I felt like this was my new mission field. People were there that I could talk to, that would relate to me, and I would want to hear their story, and I would make sure that I shared my faith, whether I was with the doctors, whether I was with the cancer care workers, or whether I was with others going through chemotherapy. I wanted them to know my faith and that I had hope. And I wanted them to feel that same hope. And so this really helped me to have these purposes in my life. Even with my emotional state, it helped me because with chemotherapy, your emotions are all over the place. You're crying one moment, you're you know, sad the next. I mean, it's just crazy. It really is. And so these kind of things helped to stabilize my emotional state because I knew I had a new purpose in life. I knew I was there for a reason and that God was using me for that. And in this emotional state, I realized I felt gratitude. Gratitude for every day. Every day was a gift for me. I was so thankful that God was able to use me in this state to reach out to others. I was grateful to God that He had allowed me to serve Him in this manner. And I wanted people to see Him in me. It was sometimes not easy. And you met, going through some of these things, you meet some very lonely people who have nobody. Many people who are so angry with life. They're angry at God for doing this. And that's something I also went through. I questioned, God, why? Why me? What did I do wrong? Is it, where did my family in the past do something wrong? Where did we go wrong? Tell me, show me. And this is, I think, very normal for people who are going through this phase of possible death. And why are we sick? Why did God allow this to happen? But I found that when I had gratitude for every single thing in my life, it helped to shut that all those parts off that made me feel anger or frustration. And so helping people, talking to them about God, giving them this hope that I had hope for tomorrow. No matter what happened, whether I was going to heaven or whether I lived, I had hope in my life. And that is a powerful thing. We've seen that happen in the TAP program. When people have hope for tomorrow, it gives them a sense of purpose and a will to live, a strong will. And then trusting God. I knew I had to trust God. He knew me better than anyone else. He had died for me. He had shed His blood for me. I was created in His image. I trusted Him because He had made me. And He knew everything about me. It's an amazing thing to have that on your side. These are words to people who have not gone through these stages. But to me, trust and hope and gratitude, they meant everything to me. And it all surrounded this relationship with God. God was so strong in my life. And He gave me this feeling of, yes, I have a future. And I was able to enjoy being with my children. Yes, the doctor said, stay away from your grandchildren because they can give you diseases, they can give you all this stuff. No, my grandkids would bounce on the bed, they'd come and see me, and you know, with the snot coming down their nose, they would cuddle with me and all that. God kept me from getting any sickness from them. And that was amazing. I am so thankful that He gave me that opportunity to be with family because they were watching me. Many people were watching how I reacted to this. And they were wondering, how is she going to face this? And so through it all, God gave me strength. He gave me His power, not in my own might, but in His. And Jeremiah 29:11 was such a very important verse to me, that He gave me a future. Whether that future was in heaven or on earth, I had a future. And I was so relaxed in that. It gave me a very calm feeling. There were hard things throughout this time, being away from the work that I loved, being away from my husband, being away from many things that were happening. Many things I couldn't do, but I tried to focus on the things that I could do. And I was able to reacquaint with a friend of mine, Karen, who was going through the same thing as I was. We're a day apart. And she never made it. And that was very hard for me. That was a very hard moment. I couldn't understand why she went and I didn't. And so I had to trust. This thing of trust is very important. When we love God and He's in your life, You learn to trust on him for the good times and the bad times. And yes, there's many bad times, many, many bad times. The chemotherapy, the first 9 weeks were so hard for me because this chemical was going through me. It was changing the way I could eat. I couldn't eat very much. I lost 30 pounds in 9 weeks. I lost my hair, and that was a very traumatic thing for me. You realize then how proud you are about certain your external parts. And there's so many things that you need to surrender to him in order to make it through. But I'm here as a living testimony. God has healed me from cancer. In the last check with my oncologist, they found no cancer. And so I praise God this morning because he has healed me. I still have challenges I face. I still have neuropathy, which are in my feet. I don't have feelings in parts of my feet, and they get very sensitive to hot and cold. And then I have pain in my legs. And so these are things I still am surrendering to Christ. I want to be used by him. And I'm so thankful that he's extended my life. He's extended my life for a reason that only he knows. But I am so grateful. So thank you.
Colleen, you know, you talked about, initially, especially when you hear those words, you have cancer, whether it's ovarian, no matter what kind of cancer, those words, I can't imagine how sobering and just make your heart stop almost kind of words. And then, you know, you talked about Jeremiah 29:11, and there may be some people here who don't know what that says, and that verse just says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." When you hear those words, and then you think about a verse like that, and you think, no, wait a minute, you have plans for a hope and a future, and is this a lie? I mean, I don't know what you're thinking, but how do you, and then verses 12 and 13 of that says, and when you pray, it doesn't say maybe, you ought to, but when you pray, I will hear you, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. How are you able to just honestly pursue him when you feel like, wait a minute, you have plans and hopes for me, and now I just found I've got cancer, and this is the silent killer? Right. How do you reconcile all of that?
Well, it's not easy to hear those words, cancer. It's like a death sentence. It really is. And in Uganda, it is. It's something you have to wrestle with, and you have to trust. For me, I really was upset at the beginning. I couldn't understand it, but yet I knew God had a plan. And so whether it was to live or to die, it was his purpose, because I've surrendered my life to him, and I have to trust him in that he knows what's best, because I am his child. And yes, sometimes we don't make it. Sometimes we do. And that is a challenge that all of us face. But I think the ultimate thing for me was that I had this trust that he wanted the best for me. And even though it was a year and a half journey, many times in pain, many times sleepless nights, all of that, ultimately I had to trust him. And that's really what got me through was Jesus Christ. Yeah.
There may be somebody here today, there certainly was this morning at 8 o'clock, who is going through this. Maybe you are personally, maybe a family member. What would you say to that person who is just crippled by fear right now, not being able to see what tomorrow looks like and being fearful of that? What do you have to say to that person?
I would say that you need to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Knowing Jesus and having him in your life gives you that assurance of tomorrow. Amen. Gives you the your reason for living is his. And so when you know him personally and you've accepted him and you've surrendered everything to him, that would be my advice, is that know him. Know him personally, because he's the one who's going to ground you and strengthen you and give you that hope for each day. Yeah.
Colleen, I want you to watch this music video, and I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward. We're going to take the offering while this is happening. But I want you to pay very close attention to the screen up here, because this is a powerful song with a very powerful message. The song is Even If. Is that Danica? I don't know why I can't remember the name of the song. Is it Danica? Is the name of the song Even If? Even If Mercy Me recorded this song. But the message of this song is such that, you know, and again, going back to this Jeremiah 29:11, the context of that passage is that God was speaking through Jeremiah to people who had been exiled. They were in a bad place.